All right, Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. All right, that's going to be where our lesson comes from. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave gifts unto men, verse number 8. Okay, notice verse number 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave, these are the gifts that he gave in verse number 8, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay? So this is the title of our lesson, God gave gifts unto men. We saw that there in verse number 8. Okay? He led captivity captive, and after he did that, he gave gifts unto men. So let's first begin by looking at verse number 8. Notice, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and then gave gifts unto men. Let's look into that part where he led captivity captive. Okay? Now, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 3, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Okay? All right, so what happened after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended from after he was dead? That's the question. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter number 12. This took place, hold your place here because we're coming back, but we want to see this idea that we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ led captivity captive. Matthew chapter number 12, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter number 12. And look at verse number 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights, where? In the heart of the earth. All right. So who is this Jonas that it's talking about here? This is the prophet Jonah. And if you remember, I was going to say from when you were a child, but I don't know if you grew up in church or not, but Jonah was somebody that was swallowed by a great fish, right? Okay? And so this great fish swallowed Jonah, and he was there how long? 3 days and 3 nights, right? That's exactly what we're just reading here in verse number 40. As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, notice, so shall the Son of Man, it's talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, turn to Luke chapter number 16. So let's follow this through. So now, where is the heart of the earth? That's the next question. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ, after he died, he went to the heart of the earth, and he was there 3 days and three nights. So the question is this, where is that at? Luke chapter number 16. And I want you to notice verse number 19. Now, a very familiar passage. This is the rich man and Lazarus. Okay? This isn't just a story, and this is certainly not just a made-up story. This is something that really took place. Okay? Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, where? Into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Why? For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. All right, then notice this, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there's what? A great gulf fixed. All right, so now we get to see two different places where these men went. Okay? One, we see there in verse number 22, the beggar died and was carried where? To Abraham's bosom. And then the rich man also died, verse 22, and he was buried, but where did he go, verse 23?
In hell.
He went to hell, okay? All right, so you have two compartments in the heart of the earth, and you have Abraham's bosom, and you have, or paradise, and you also have hell on the other side. And in between is verse number 26, a great gulf fixed, so that some that are on this side can't cross to the other side, and the ones over here can't cross to the other side. Are we tracking? Okay. Now, let's go to Luke chapter number 23. All right, here we have one verse. Luke 23, and look at verse number 43. Okay. Remember, this is the Lord Jesus Christ is about to die, and there is a thief right next to him that repents. Right there, just before death. And look at what the Lord Jesus Christ tells him in verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me, where? In paradise. Okay, so from there, let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. All right, so in Matthew chapter 12, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the prophet Jonas, was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Okay? And we know from reading the other passages that there is a compartment called paradise in the heart of the earth, and there is Abraham's bosom. And in between, there's a great gulf fixed, okay? So that one can't cross to the other side. Now notice here, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? After he died and after he rose, he went here for 3 days and three nights. Notice 1 Peter chapter number 3. And look at verse number 19. Or look at verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits, where? In prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. All right? Now, look at chapter number 4, 1 Peter chapter number 4, look at verse number 6. So the Lord Jesus Christ goes there in verse 19, and he preached unto the spirits in prison, chapter 4, verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Okay? All right, now go to John chapter number 20. So Christ was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He preached unto the spirits that were in prison, they were in hell. That was the purpose of him going after he died. And then notice this in John chapter number 20. And look at verse number 16. So the Lord Jesus Christ does that. 3 days, three nights. Then, notice this, verse number 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Okay, now look at verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Then later on, you notice doubting Thomas is there in verse number 24. And look at what he tells them in verse number 27. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. All right, so a couple of things that are happening there. We read all those verses together, but after the Lord Jesus Christ came back, he approaches Mary, and he says, Don't touch me. Why? Because I haven't yet ascended up unto the Father. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ ascends up into heaven, comes back down the same day, verse number 19, then the same day at evening, comes down, and now he meets with some of the disciples, and now they can touch him. Because now he's already completely paid, atoned for the sin of the world, and then now Thomas can touch him. So that's what happened when we see that he led captivity captive in Ephesians chapter number 4. Let's go back over there. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. All right, so the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again, goes to hell, preaches to those that are there in Abraham's bosom, preaches to those that are in hell. He's there 3 days, three nights, gets up, goes unto Mary, says, I'm not ascended yet, goes and ascends unto the Father, comes back down, and then now everybody can touch him. In the meantime, he led captivity captive. All those souls that were down there in paradise, he took them with him. They were there waiting because there hadn't been an atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ hadn't died. He hadn't shed his blood for everyone. But once that took place, then now they're in heaven. And now when we die, we don't go to another place. We go straight to heaven. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ already died. Okay? When the Lord Jesus Christ was still there, he told the other one, Today shalt thou be with me where? In paradise. They were still going to this compartment. Not anymore. Now they've been led, captivity has been led captive, and now they're in heaven. Okay? Just want to give that brief introduction so that we understand this had to take place first before, notice there verse 8, and then he gave gifts unto men. So the Lord Jesus Christ did this. The Holy Spirit of God was given to us as a gift, was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that had to happen before the Comforter could come, who's the one that essentially we get the gifts from. Okay? So now let's look at verse number 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? We've covered that. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that hath ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Okay? This all took place in those verses that we just talked about. Now let's talk about the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, which are there in verse number 11. Okay? First, he led captivity captive, and then he gave those gifts. Verse 11, he gave some, what's the first one there?
Apostles.
All right, so I want you to notice this. You can read also in Romans chapter number 12, some of those gifts that were given over there were not people. These are people. An apostle is a person, a prophet is a person, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher, all those are people. The gifts in Romans chapter number 12 are gifts that are given to men or women, to people, to be exercised. Okay? All right. Now, these gifts were given to men specifically, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 1, he said, I have you not to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. There's many Christians today that are ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. Such as what? I mean, I know we're not talking about those gifts, but if I were to ask you how has God gifted you? Because the Bible says that he's given at least one gift to every Christian. The question is, what's your gift and are you exercising that gift? Okay? If you are, good. If you're not, then what is it? Okay? But in this case, sometimes we can be ignorant of such these things, where who gives the gifts and for what purpose? Okay? And we ask ourselves all these questions, to whom does God give these gifts, etc., etc. So in looking at these gifts of men, given to men, we want to start with those gifts that are not used anymore, which we don't really have to concern ourselves much with, but we also want to cover them. And then we're going to go to those gifts that apply to us today, okay? Again, the first one, notice there, verse number 11. He gave some apostles. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10. Who are these apostles? These apostles that the Lord Jesus Christ gave were the original 12 apostles, okay? And we see this here in Matthew chapter number 10. And these were given in time past, and we have to understand this, that they're no longer active today. That's the point. There's many churches today or many people that profess to be apostles today. And they might even present themselves as, oh, I'm the apostle so-and-so. Now, if we haven't studied our Bibles, you might say, okay, well, he's an apostle. He wants me to call him an apostle, I'll call him an apostle. But once we see what the Bible has to say regarding the apostles, we'll see if you're going to call him an apostle or not. Okay? Notice, in Matthew chapter number 10, look at verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. He continues to list who they are. Okay? But notice verse number 5. These 12... Okay, so verses 2, 3, and 4, they're listed. Those are the names. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any other city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather where? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. And he continues on, and he sends them out. And later on, actually in another passage, it shows that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed all night before he chose those 12 apostles. Why? Because it was very crucial who he was going to pick out of And we know that at least from 70, it went down to 12. We know at least that. But there was more followers, disciples, and apostles. But these were going to be the 12 that were going to go out. And essentially, these were the men that turned the world upside down. These were the men that preached the gospel. And now this is what we have today. So it was crucial that the Lord Jesus Christ spent prayer with God through the Holy Spirit to know which ones he was going to pick. But I want you to notice, they had a very specific ministry. What did they do? Look at verse number 1. And when he had called him unto the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and notice, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It's not like the doctors today where you go and you visit them and they give you a medication because they've studied and they know what they're doing. This is something where they would lay hands on somebody and it was gone. And not like the healers of today where they try it and if it doesn't work, well, it's because you don't have enough faith. Okay? All right, so they had a very specific thing that they were doing. He names them, okay? Then pick it up again in verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. How many people have you seen today that are cleansing the lepers? Not today. Raise the dead. If somebody says, I'm apostle so-and-so, well, notice here, I mean, these are the apostles. Raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. And then essentially just go with whatever you have, just go and preach the gospel. And then from time to time, they would come back and they would tell the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what's going on, things are going great. And then he would send them forth again, and from there, they begin to multiply. Now, what was the purpose of the apostles? Essentially, in 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's what the Bible says. So the apostles came because the Jews, they required a sign. They wanted to see things with their own eyes. And if they didn't see it, they didn't believe. And even when they saw things, they still didn't believe. But some of these things, those apostles were doing so that the Jews would see, look at what we're doing. All right, so that's the first thing. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Those are the apostles. That's the first gift that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, and then what? And some prophets. Some prophets. Okay, so what was the work of the prophets? If somebody tells you today that they are a prophet, what do you do?
They have to have a revelation from God. That's a prophet.
Okay. So notice, the prophets, go to Hebrews chapter number 1. The prophets spoke exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ told them to speak. Nothing else. That they only did what God told them to speak, and they only spoke what God told them to do and to speak. Notice Hebrews chapter number 1. But today, here we have the Bible, because a lot of people say, well, the prophets interpret future events. Well, how do you know if to believe them if what they're saying? Well, here we have the Word of God. And everything has already been written. So those prophets in the Old Testament only spoke what God told them to speak and only did what God told them to do. Okay? Notice Hebrews chapter number 1 and look at verse number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers, how? By the prophets, Okay, so this is how God spoke in old time by the prophets. But how about now, verse 2? Hath in these last days, right now, spoken unto us, how? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. He's spoken to us. Oh, he spoke at some point through the prophets, but now he speaks to us through his Son. Well, according to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You go down, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there it is. Here we have a word that has been written by God himself. And this is what we believe. So if somebody comes and says, the world's going to end in tomorrow, what do? Sell everything. And nobody knows. Nobody knows the time. That we know, that's for sure. So then who do we believe? We believe the Bible. That's what we believe. Okay? All right, so now we have the Bible. It's been written, and no longer have prophets whom God speaks to individually and privately to share to anyone else. Okay? Okay, let's look at example. Go to Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1. We talked about him earlier, but let's see the prophet Jonah. Jonah was a prophet, as we said earlier, that was swallowed by a great fish, right? Okay. Now, what did God send him to do? That's the question. To preach the word. Look at Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. Okay. And look at verse number 1. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, say, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. All right, so he was a prophet. This is what God wanted him to do specifically. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them exactly what I tell you. This is the first thing. Go. What did Jonah do? Initially, he disobeyed. And instead of going to Nineveh, he went where? To Tarshish. He gets on a ship and takes off. Eventually, they throw him overboard. A great fish swallows him, and it goes and spits him out after 3 days and three nights. Comes to his senses. Go to Jonah chapter 3. Let's see what happened. So Jonah arose. It's after all that takes place, and went unto Nineveh according to what? According to the word of the Lord. So that's exactly what God wanted him to do the entire time. And that's what prophets did. If someone today claims to be a prophet, he prophesies about future events that have already been revealed in the Bible. So a prophet today can tell you, warning, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon, and you need to get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what he's saying? He's saying the truth. Okay? That will come to pass, but because we already have it here. Okay? All right. So, and we know that. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's finish this thought. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Prophet, he may try to tell you something that's not in this Bible. Well, if that's the case, don't believe him. You stick with this Bible. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse 19. 1 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is it right here. A more sure word of prophecy. You're holding it right now. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 20, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God doesn't speak to a person individually and says, you need to go and tell these people this. If that's the case, we'll say, you crazy, man. That's not true. Okay? We're going to stick with the Bible. Why? Verse 19, because we have a more sure word of prophecy. That's why. Okay?
Verse 16.
Better than that. Verse 16. Yeah, that's right. We haven't followed cunningly devised fables. Yep, that is true. All right, so that's the prophets. Let's go back to our text in Ephesians chapter number 4. These are the gifts that God gave us. He gave unto men apostles, and then he gave prophets. And then, notice this, he gave, what's the next one? Evangelist. Evangelist. Now, go to Acts chapter number 21. Evangelist in Scripture is a person that preaches the gospel in many cities. You'll see this regarding Philip. In Acts chapter number 21, look at verse number 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the what? The evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So Philip was an evangelist, and Philip went from city to city doing what? Preaching the gospel. That's what he was doing. You remember the time when God spoke to Philip to go and meet with the Ethiopian eunuch? Oh, you know what? Let's just see it. Let's go to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, look at verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queens of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet, that's Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scriptures which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. That's what he's doing. Philip the evangelist was preaching. He was going. So now, you see an evangelist that comes by our church, your church, and what he's doing is he's going about. He doesn't pastor a local church. He's just going from place to place preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that people can get saved. Yes. That's what Philip was doing. And that's what evangelists should be doing today. That's a lot of the missionaries and church planners that we have today. That's what I am. Here I am. We go, knock on doors, we go, preach the gospel to you, preach the gospel to your family, preach the gospel to whoever wants to listen. If they come near, we'll take them. Okay? All right, let's go back to Ephesians. Back to Ephesians. We're going through the gifts, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. And then notice this, and some pastors and teachers. All right, so those are the last two in the list. And those two essentially go together. Now, there are some teachers that are not necessarily pastors, but a pastor should be apt to teach, okay, according to Timothy. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. This pastor is also known as an elder, and he's also known as a bishop in the Bible. Okay? 1 Peter chapter number 5. I want you to notice this, some of the things that the pastor is supposed to be doing. This pastor is called by God. He's given a calling and to go and to pastor a local church. It's never to pastor a ministry. It's all, the Bible always talks about a local congregation of believers, which he calls a local church. Okay? And notice what he's supposed to do in 1 Peter chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. The elders, okay, again, this is a pastor, an elder, or a bishop. They're all used interchangeably, okay? The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Look at verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. All right, so there you see a couple things of what a pastor should be doing. Verse 2, feed the flock of God. Here we have the scriptures. What are we doing right now? We're feeding, right? You're being fed. You're being fed spiritual food. And that's what God expects of pastors, to feed the flock of God. There's so many churches today, so many Christians that are malnourished because they're not being fed. Okay? Feed the flock of God which is among you. And then notice this, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Not trying to force people and push them around. That's not the purpose of this. Willingly. Not for filthy lucre. There's some pastors that unfortunately get into the ministry because of the money. And it's not a career. It's not something where you go to school so that you could say, this is the career choice that I have chosen. This is what I want to do. And unfortunately, that's what it's become. People, if you want to be an attorney, be an attorney. If you want to be a doctor, be a doctor. If you want to be a preacher, be a preacher. You go to school, you get paid, and they treat it just like that. And that's not the way it should be treated. This is a calling, notice, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but notice, being examples to the flock. Not that the pastor is the example, but that he is an example. He's just one. I mean, every believer ought to be an example to other believers, but more than that, the pastor is the one that's leading the flock and is the one that should be a big example as to what a Christian ought to be. Okay? Not that the man is perfect, but somebody that you're following because he's a good example. Okay? All right, then I want you to notice this. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. This is the last thing we want to see here regarding pastors. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. It seems to be a big thing even today. Here we see some of the qualities, some of the qualifications of a pastor. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. This is a true saying. If a what? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the what? The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Then why is it that today there's many women pastors? Even in this city. And I've seen there's a, I'm not going to point anyone out, any certain church, but there's several churches in this city that have women pastors. Well, how can you be the husband of one wife if you're the wife? How can you be that man that desires the office of a bishop? And I've seen, and she's the pastor over the children's ministry, and she's the pastor over the youth, and she's the pastor over the music ministry, and she's the pastor over the, all of that. That's not the way God designed it and intended for it to be. He wanted a man, okay? All right, so that's the last thing regarding a pastor. So the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and then the teachers. It's right there also. Let's go to Acts chapter number 15. A teacher is somebody that should have the ability to instruct the believers in the truth. This is what we're looking at right now. Instructing the believer in the truth of God, the Bible. Okay? And a teacher ought to be capable of at least doing that. Sometimes I don't get my points across, but you bear with me, which is good. Acts chapter number 15, notice, look at verse number 35. Or look at verse 33. And after they tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, and what were they doing? Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Okay, so you see the distinction there between preaching and teaching. Okay? Most of what's being done right now is teaching. You and I are learning something from the word of God. Now, some of that preaching might be where you might say, well, you point at somebody. No, where the word of God says, this is what we need to do. We need to change and adapt to this. Okay, well then, that becomes preaching. Not only it becomes instructive for something that we should know here intellectually, but something that comes here to the heart and says, something needs to change. Okay, and that becomes preaching. So here, these teachers have the ability to instruct the believers in the truth, to help the Christians be rooted and grounded in the truth. That's what God wants from you and from me. Amen. Go to Romans chapter number 16. We have to be rooted and grounded in the correct kind of teaching and the correct doctrine of teaching. Why is that crucial? Well, you know, I've heard of many people, men and women, that are not recruited is not the word, taken is not the word, that are proselytized, means they're taken from the Baptist unto the Jehovah's Witness, unto the Mormons. And why does that happen? Part of it is because Christians are not rooted and grounded in what we believe. Because if we knew what we believed, then nobody can take you out or take away what you and I believe.
Amen.
And that's part of the teaching, is to be rooted and grounded in the right doctrine. Okay? All right, notice Romans chapter number 16. Look at verse number 17. This is Paul speaking. And notice what he tells some of the people in the church in Rome. Now I beseech you, means I'm exhorting you, I'm telling you, listen to me, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and do what?
Avoid them.
This is so important that, well, we can still hang out and we can still be friends. Well, you can if you're rooted and grounded in what you know and nobody's going to take you out of it. But if not, somebody else is going to come around over there, and instead of marking them, like it says here, and instead of withdrawing, avoiding them, oh, it's okay. We're just gonna hang out. Oh, it's okay. I'm just going to go to their church for this one time. It's okay. By the time you know it, guess what happens? People have strayed. Okay? All right, let's go to Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 4. We're almost done. Now let's look at the purpose of the gifts. Verse 11, these were the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ gave after he led captivity captive. He gave these gifts unto men, and the gifts were men. In verse number 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But for what purpose, verse 12? For the perfecting of the saints. That's the first thing. For the work of the ministry, that's the second thing. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, let's look at the first thing. For the perfecting of the saints. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. When men preach and teach the word of God, then the saints, that's those that are here, are perfected by the word of God. Okay? You're not going to be perfected by what I say or by what another man says. You're only going to be perfected by what the word of God says. And that's what he wants. He wants for the perfecting of the saints. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 16. All scripture, okay, this is everything you're holding in your lap, is profitable. I'm sorry. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, notice, perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to strive for this. And the only way this is going to happen, verse 16, is by the scripture. All scripture. And as it's taught and as it's taught and preached, you'll notice verse 16, it in your life, it's profitable for doctrine. Okay, those are the truths of the Bible. For reproof, sometimes we're going to hear some things that we're going to say, oh man, I don't necessarily like that, but it's good for me if I do what the Bible says. It's going to reprove us. For correction, we might be going in a certain direction, and the Bible says, no, you don't go in that direction. This is the direction. Oh, okay. And we're corrected. We may not like that either, but it's good for us. Notice, for instruction in righteousness. This is the walk that we become more like Christ, and it instructs us just a little bit more. Sometimes we just get just one thing from a message or from a service that helps us to be that much closer to God himself. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When that happens, good works happen. And that's what God wants. We don't have good works so that we get saved. We have good works because we are saved.
Amen.
Okay? So the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. There's many ministries. We'll just go through this. There's many ministries in a local church. There's jail ministries. There's the ministry in the nursery. There is the teen ministry. There is, when I was here in Kingsville, we used to go to the nursing home. That's a ministry. There's all kinds of ministries, and that begins in the local church. It's not ministries that are just started somewhere else by somebody. God is designed, notice how he puts it there, that the ministries flow out of the local church, okay? That's what he wants. And then for the edifying of the body of Christ, go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and we'll be done. This edifying of the body of Christ has to do with working with the body of Christ. We certainly don't want to work against the body of Christ, do we? We want to cooperate with what the Spirit of God is doing. We don't want to go against with what God wants to do. And what God wants to do is he wants the body to be edified, to be lifted up. Okay? Notice 1 Peter chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay? So the gift that you and I have received is not for us, but for the edification of others, for the ministering of others. Is that saying, well, you know what, I'm so good at doing this, I'm just going to keep it to myself. It's not what God wants for Christians. He wants for you and every person that's gifted to come to a local church and exercise your gift so that others might be edified. And Christ might be glorified. That's what he wants, okay? Not to say, you know what, I'm just going to keep my gift to myself. Okay? If I would have kept my gift to myself, I would have stayed home today. Right? What about you? I mean, you wouldn't have been able to come and minister to others. Not just what's taking place now, but a lot of you talking and encouraging one another and helping each other. So these gifts were not given so that we can glorify or glory in them, but so that we can edify others and so that we can exercise them. Okay? So as we saw today, in conclusion, these are the gifts that God gave unto men. And the gifts were actual men. And this is what they were. We saw why, but we saw that they were apostles. And now we know if somebody says that they're an apostle and they don't meet the biblical qualifications, then beware. Or a prophet, somebody comes and tells you, hey, this is something that's going to take place. We have a more sure word of prophecy. It's right here. It's the Bible. An evangelist, somebody that comes and preaches the gospel and desires for men and women to be saved. A pastor and a teacher, somebody who comes and feeds the flock of God and who teaches so that the body might be edified and lifted up, rooted and grounded in the truth. That's what he wants. And he did all this, obviously, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Such a simple lesson, but crucial, crucial today. If we miss this, we miss a lot. Not only do we miss others doing the work, but we miss us being involved for what God wants each and every one of us to do in the local church. Amen?